Well, good morning, everyone. It's a particular joy for me to be back amongst you here in Points Pass Baptist Church. It's always a joy to renew fellowship and to renew friendships as well. And it's always a little bit unnerving when you hear how good everything has been up until now at the meeting on Friday night and then last night. So there's no pressure at all for this morning, right? But it's a joy for me to be here. It's a joy to be representing Slavic Gospel Association and to share a little of what God is doing throughout Eastern Europe, into Central Asia, those Stan countries that you may be familiar with, even far over into Eastern Russia. And more recently, into the country of Mongolia. And in all of the efforts of Slavic Gospel Association, not only is the word gospel central to the name, but indeed foundational and motivational to every aspect of the work. And so we make that a priority because we believe there is hope in the gospel. There is hope in this message that speaks of a God who loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that Jesus would give his life, dying on a cross, that you and I might be forgiven, reconciled to God, and have hope not only for this life, but for all eternity. And I trust that you'll be encouraged that as you think again about the work of Slavic Gospel Association, which you have supported in the past, and we say thank you for that, but that you will be encouraged to pray even more for what God is doing, and become a partner indeed with us and with your brothers and sisters in Christ in these lands. As great as ever, and the question remains, what part will you and I play in sharing this incredibly life-changing message of the gospel? This message that people across the street and people across the world need to hear. We are seeking to bring hope through the gospel as we train leaders, those in each of the Slavic nations, so that they in turn can take the gospel message to their fellow countrymen. In training them, we also then stand with them and we endeavor to sponsor such workers so that they too may not only preach God's word but plant churches in these different countries as well. And that support and that sponsorship takes the form not just of finance, but maybe even a vehicle. We may even help in the building of a particular house of prayer, which is what churches are commonly known as in the Slavic nations. But as well as that, of course, as you have just seen, part of Slavic work is also to encourage and promote the publication of literature, not just Bibles, but also other biblically sound and appropriate material for our workers in the different countries. And we're thrilled to be able to say today that we also have in-country writers, which we encourage and support so that they can provide material again for those countries. And like many agencies, we're also involved in the distribution of aid, responding to various crises that arise from time to time, particularly those where there is conflict, for instance, and especially over recent years, that Ukrainian and Russian conflict. I'll mention a little bit more about that in just a moment. And so as we think about the work of Slavic Gospel Association, I want to just highlight a few things. But in doing so, this is what Derek Maxwell, our general director, said in relation to the gospel. God's priority program is to have the gospel proclaimed throughout the whole world. And that remains God's priority program until he calls his church home. And then our work here on earth will cease. It ought to be the priority program in my life and in yours. It ought to be the priority program in every church if that church seeks to glorify God as well. And so as we come together again this morning to think about mission and our role and our part in God's mission, I want to encourage you to be partners in mission. This is our tagline, as it were. And I emphasize that too, because the stronger our partnership is with you as individuals, as families, as a church, then the stronger that partnership can be with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Slavic nations. So please consider that. And we'll be looking at this morning three particular areas. These are characteristics, as it were, that the Apostle Paul highlighted concerning the church at Thessalonica. And we'll come to this when we come around God's word in just a moment. But I thought appropriate to illustrate, as it were, these three characteristics through the work of Slavic Gospel Association, and then to challenge us as a church as to where we stand on this challenge as well. We'll be looking at our work of faith. We'll be considering our labor of love. And we'll be also thinking finally of our patience of hope. Three characteristics that Paul highlights that I am now going to use to bring to you a little update on the work of Slavic Gospel Association. There were four ministries that you heard mentioned earlier. I'm going to highlight two of them just this morning because of time. That of training workers. And we are currently seeking to train thousands throughout the Slavic nations. And that is in Eastern Europe, in Central Asia, and indeed Far East Russia. We do that through local mission schools. These were when churches open up their doors and members from other churches come, and they will be trained maybe five, six times a year. And this is in partnership again with local pastors and SGA staff minister into and form part of the teaching program in local mission schools. But there are also a number of Bible colleges or seminaries, institutes, where again Slavic Gospel Association has input, and we're seeing men and women being trained for the work of the gospel. As well as that, there is an independent Bible training program from one of our institutes, that is the Almaty Bible Institute in Kazakhstan. And so through these means, we are seeking to equip men and women in the work of God through the Word of God. And so we ask your blessing upon that. We were thrilled when we heard this exclamation from our friends in the Slavic nation. Give us the tools. And we will do the work. Isn't that exciting that we would be able to minister to them, equip the church to reach the nations? And that's happening in mission schools like one in Romania, also one there in Bulgaria, and there in Poland. I've been to Romania. I've seen this in operation in Poland. And God willing, I will be visiting one in Bulgaria in October of this year. But there are other places like Serbia and Ukraine, Macedonia. Our brother Mark Foster is currently in Macedonia training workers as we meet this morning. And also in Moldova. As I speak about Moldova, I think it's worth mentioning that the mission school in Moldova, probably one of the longest running ones, celebrated its 30th year last year, training men and women for ministry. This is truly a work of faith. I mentioned the Almaty Bible Institute in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan being one of the biggest of the five Stan countries in Central Asia. Now, I'll be telling you a little bit more about this, but there we are seeking to provide sound biblical theological training alongside the staff at Almaty Bible Institute, equipping students from throughout Central Asia. Now, when we talk about Central Asia, this is a very difficult place and very difficult countries for the gospel. There is opposition, yet the doors are open and men and women are responding not only to saving faith, the gospel message, but also are responding to the call of God upon their lives. And so the gospel is advancing in and amongst the Slavic nations as many more are reached, as many more are taught, and as many more are equipped through their faith. I mentioned the independent Bible correspondence course just last year. 1,840 students were enrolled there. Now, this student body is, well, just over 40% from a Muslim background. Now, try and get a grasp of that. To think that in such countries, despite the opposition, despite the challenges, men and women are coming and training for ministry. And so we praise God for that. There's a biblical leadership training leaflet there in the hallway, and I'd like you to take that and you'll be able to read up a little bit more about how we're fulfilling this role. Existing churches have been given leaders through this program. New churches have been planted through this program, and thousands have found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So please pray for the training program within the work of Slavic Gospel Association. Now, when we think about work of faith, I want to mention our current project for 2024, Wheels and Wings. Now, what on earth is this guy talking about anyway? Wheels and Wings. Well, this is going a little further with the gospel, reaching those who are living in isolated communities, isolated places, those who would not normally hear the gospel message. And so our missionaries are encouraged to move out, to go further than the main cities and towns with the gospel. And so we'll assist them to do that. Sometimes it'll be providing vehicles, like for Nikolai and his family in Kazakhstan. They're thrilled to have this vehicle, not only to be able to go to places, but to take then supplies and provide aid and help, but also to be able to share the gospel with those in isolated areas. But not only through wheels, but as I mentioned, wings. Yes, through the Kingdom Air Corps in Far East Russia, Slavic Gospel Association are currently sponsoring 3 aeroplanes, taking our missionaries into, again, very isolated areas. And in many cases, this is difficult. And just a few weeks ago, we got this lovely photograph back from one of our pastors in Moldova. So grateful again for the support of SGA and our supporters here at home. Again, partners in mission, this is the difference it makes. And this vehicle is going to allow the young people, especially, to be involved in evangelism programs, thanks to the generosity, support, prayers of people here in the West. But when we think of the Wings Project, it's always fascinating to think that in many places, isolated places like this, sometimes they have to cut the grass in order for the plane to arrive, and they'll stay so long that the grass will have to be cut again, that the plane would take off. But there, people are being reached with the message of the gospel, bringing hope to isolated communities. The gospel work has been significantly enhanced, they tell us, through this transport program. If Wheels and Wings could tell their stories, volumes could be written to illustrate this, how this very practical support has been integral to the progress of the gospel and the salvation, and I love this, to the salvation of precious men, women, and young people. Work of faith. Secondly, labor of love, Paul highlights to the church. He has heard about their labor of love. And SGA as well has a ministry entitled the Phoebe Ministries, or the Phoebe Project. And these are ladies ministering to ladies, opening up their hearts and ministering into some very difficult and heartbreaking situations. And one of those situations is what we call our hope centers. And these are hope centers that are run by our partners, Bible Mission. And there are about 22 currently in Central Asia. And these are buildings that have been taken over and the doors opened and rescue offered to boys and girls and indeed to abused and abandoned ladies as well. And there are currently in excess of 500 children being cared for and catered for at the Hope Centres. Not only are they shown love, but the ladies will be taught practical things. And it's a shelter. It's a refuge. It's a place of hope for those who had been finding themselves in hopeless situations. In fact, one of the pastors said this of these 3 siblings when they were found on a local rubbish dump. When we admitted them, he says the 3 children were very happy. They said they couldn't remember how long it had been since they had slept on a bed, eaten a hot meal, or worn a clean shirt. Bringing hope, laboring in love in Central Asia. And one such lady that is instrumental in this ministry is this lady here. Her name is Tatiana, and she's responsible for the Hope Center in Dushanbe, the capital of Tajikistan. And not only does she open up her heart, but she understands the needs of particularly these children, and in particular, disabled children, because she has a little girl who's disabled as well. And for such children in Central Asia, well, you're of no value, no worth. And so she understands, and she brings such children in. She shows them love and makes a difference not only to their lives, but also to their families as well. And these children, well, they're changing overnight in response to the love that has been shown. Again, there's a little leaflet in the hallway where you can take that away and think about and pray for the ministry of the Hope Centres. As we think about this, I want to move on now to the patience of hope. We've looked at the work of faith, the labour of love, and 2 other ministries that really encourage us to persevere, to endure despite the opposition. And to that end, we are currently sponsoring over 200 missionary families. That is those in Orthodox Eastern Europe, those in Islam-dominated Central Asia, and of course in the spiritual darkness of Far East Russia, where paganism tends to be the religion, but also the way of life. It's in their DNA, as it were. They know nothing else. And the gospel message for many has never been heard. For obvious reasons, I won't mention their names, but this is a pastor and his wife in Tajikistan. What an incredible couple. and how God broke into the darkness of his life. You see, in Tajikistan, like all of the Central Asian countries, there's about 10 million people in Tajikistan, and like Central Asia, 98% currently Muslim. And this guy that I've just shown you the photograph, you see, he was not only a former Muslim, but he was a mullah. He was one of the Sunni or Shiite clergy, the most radical of Muslims. Everyone, including their very family, are enemies. His sister attempted on a number of occasions to share the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with him, that message of hope. He threatened her. Tell me one more time about that man and I will cut your head off. But God broke into his life. And God not only saved him and his wife, but called them into ministry. And God is blessing their ministry in Tajikistan, so much so that there are around 80 now worshiping in his little church. Recent photograph of a baptismal service, you'll notice just how many young people are here. God is at work in places like Tajikistan, where Islam is so prevalent. Please pray. But there are many, many others like this particular family that are needing support. And the partnership support program as well is open to people like you to come involved and to partner with and to get regular updates from those that you're partnering with so that they can make a difference, so that they can impact, so that they can share the message of the gospel as well. Please take this leaflet with you. One of our Eastern European pastors said this: without a support program like this, some people simply will not hear the gospel. They will not have had a chance to be saved. And that troubles me. And that's why I share it with you. Please pray that support will come for such people, that they will feel that partnership, feel those journeying with them, that they will be encouraged to go further with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, before I finish, I want to just bring a quick update on Ukraine. Now into its third year, this conflict still rages. War is still raging. Lives are still being lost. Families are being fragmented. Some don't even know where their families are. Some don't even know if they're still alive. Homes have been destroyed. Indeed, some churches have been destroyed as well. It's off our television screens. It's no longer a prominent place on our social media platform. But this war is still going on. And in recent days, we've heard of the kamikaze drone attacks. We've heard what's been happening in places like Kherson and Kharkiv. And many are despairing. Many are searching. Many are without hope. And yet, despite all of this, despite the darkness, despair, and death, God is at work in Ukraine like never before. And we praise God for the Spirit of God that is at work and moving and saving. This is Pastor Igor Bandura, Vice President of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ukraine. And this is what he reported. In 2020, he said there were 2,300 Baptist churches in Ukraine. Of these congregations, 110 were lost because of the war. But we planted 50 new churches. 100 pastors now serve as chaplains in the ministry. What an opportunity. We ordained 200 new pastors after the invasion. And so whilst there may be still many questions, and whilst our hearts may still be breaking for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine, there is still hope. Pastor Igor Bandura terminated our team's call recently using three words: keep hope alive. You see, as long as we're still able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is hope for all who hear. There is hope for all who will embrace. There is hope for all who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Please continue to pray for this ministry. He reminded us too that because of the Spirit of God and the move of that Spirit in Ukraine, they have a vision that they want to share with us. They have a vision they want you to pray into. And their vision is this: to see 1,000 new churches planted in Ukraine by 2036. So over the next 12 years, they're longing and asking and working towards seeing 1,000 new churches. What a vision. And we believe, of course, that nothing is impossible for our God. Right? Amen. There's nothing that our God cannot do. And we pray that God will continue to bless that. There's a little book that Pastor John Burney has written. It's just been released towards the end of last year, called Hope in the War Zone. Speaking of the war in Ukraine, which really began back in 2014. And SGA's involvement in this country down through the years. It's heartbreaking. But it will also be heartwarming as you see the sovereign hand of God upon this nation and what God is doing. You will hear personal and read of personal accounts of people who have found Christ and who are serving in Christ. That book is on the table, and I'm not here to sell on a Sunday, but if you would like that and just leave the money, or you can give the money to Nigel or to David or whatever, £5, the entire proceeds goes towards gospel ministry in Ukraine. We want to see the gospel spread even further. We want to see many more coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So please pray for an end to the war and the loss of life. Please pray for our sponsorship and training programs throughout the Slavic nations. Remember the Wheels and Wings project as well. Don't be taking my little car and the little plane that's on the table. I need that for further exhibitions. But please remember that. There's a leaflet there that I'll explain a little bit more again about that too. And remember the Phoebe Ministries. If you're a lady here this morning and you've got a heart for mission and how you can minister into ladies' situations, you'll be encouraged by that ministry. And if you'd like to hear more, we have a Phoebe rep for SGA, Elaine Johnson. She'd be delighted to come. And if she's not available, well, I'll come, especially if there's tart as well and a cup of tea. I'll be more than happy to come and share with you more about the Phoebe ministry. But please pray that in all of this, as we share the gospel, as we bring hope through the gospel, that many will find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In a recent report article in one of our magazines, this is what we read. Still after 30 years of ministry, referring to the work in Moldova, we face a task unfinished, with the challenge of many villages still without an evangelical witness, we read. And as the Lord enables, SGA will continue to do its part in preparing a new generation to spread the gospel more effectively through evangelism and church planting. And that's what motivates us. That's what spurs us on, realizing that there is still a task unfinished. Challenges are real. Opposition is inevitable. Needs are, dear friends, unending, but the gospel is all-powerful. We read, of course, what Paul tells us in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. There's nothing like the gospel. And this is what Paul refers to as we come now to God's word. And I commend the work of SGA to you and to your prayers. Let us think for just a few moments. And I love a clock that's fast. I'm not sure whether that's to get me to stop sooner or whatever. But listen, let's come to God's word for a few moments. And we do so as we think about partners in mission. As we together continue with God in his work around the world. To do that, I want you to be reminded too of something I read recently. I can't remember its source, but it encouraged me as I thought about coming to Points Pass Convention Sunday morning. And this is what it said. The gospel is too important to be ignored and too overwhelming to be done alone. Gospel work is too important to be ignored and too overwhelming to be done alone. Remember these words as we think about our text this morning. 1 Thessalonians then, chapter 1, and we'll read some verses there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And we do pray that God will add his blessing even to the public reading of his own precious word. I wonder, as we think about partners in mission, as we think again about this task that remains unfinished, this gospel message that must at all costs be shared, it ought to be not only the message on our lips, but it ought to be our mode of living. It ought to define who we are as Christians, as believers, as children of God. And it ought to be the very hallmark. It ought to be the profile picture of Points Pass Baptist Church. And as we think about these words, Luke tells us in Acts 17 how the Thessalonica church came to be evangelized and came into being. It happened during Paul's second missionary journey. He was with Silas and Timothy and Luke. They were his partners in mission. And lovely to be reminded even this morning that the work of this church is not just the work of one man, but indeed the entire church. Paul begins here this passage, "We give thanks to God always for you, all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." Paul, though not with them, had not forgotten about them. Though not with them, continued to pray for. And we appreciate your prayers for us as a mission. You see, this was a place where Paul had preached the gospel, lives had been transformed, believers in turn had not just believed the gospel, but the gospel was now shaping their lives. And this is what the gospel ought to do. If we take the name of being a Christian, the gospel ought to be shaping our lives each and every day. Paul then goes on to mention these three characteristics or three important aspects of their service for the Lord. And oh, that this could be said of this church, these families, our lives as individuals. And he mentions them one by one. He says, "We remember before God your work produced by faith." The gospel had clearly changed their lives from the inside out. They were no longer the same as before. They were different. We read on how they had turned from idols, how they had turned from their old way of life, and they were now trusting in God alone. And this is always what the gospel does. It is something that only God can do by his grace and by his mercy. You and I know, as we read in Romans chapter 1, that the gospel is still today the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. These people were changed as they had received not only the word, but they'd been changed by the power of the Spirit as well. And the transformation that the gospel had made in their lives, well, it led them to be followers of Paul's example, by in turn sharing this message with others. And therein lies a challenge for you and me. This message that I have received, that you have received, that we have embraced, that we now stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it defining us? Is it shaping us? Is it motivating us? Is it leading us in ministry day by day? You see, faith must always lead to works. It has been said we are not saved by faith plus works, but a faith that works. Is your faith working this morning? Are you now taking this message to others? I quoted that song that I love to sing, well, especially when I'm on my own. "There is one gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It's my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me." Dear friends, we have a story to tell to the nations. And it begins by sharing with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your work colleagues. This is the greatest story ever heard. It is the only story that can change a life here on earth and for all eternity. And so I ask you this morning, as Paul commends, as Paul highlights, as Paul puts a highlighter over the work of faith in the believers at Thessalonica, can that be clear to see in your life and mine? Work of faith. Secondly, your labor prompted by love. Paul highlights not only their work produced by faith, but their labor prompted by love. I see two aspects of this love. First of all, there's a love for God. And that is so incredibly important. Their labor of love was to serve the living God. In Deuteronomy 11, we read, "To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." There's no half measure as we labor for God where he has placed us. I find the words of Paul again in 2 Corinthians 5 challenging, where we read in verse 15, "Jesus died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised again." This is why God has saved us, that we no longer live for ourselves, but we so love him that we long to live for him day by day. Our love for God, Paul says, "I can see, I have heard about your love for God. And if we truly love God, you see, then we will love others because that's what God does. Our heart will beat like his heart beats. His heart yearns, not willing that any should perish, and so too ought ours. In John 13, we read a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? To what level? To what degree? Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Is that obvious to the folk here in Points Pass as they meet you? Your love for one another, your love for them, is that what they're talking about? Is that what is impressing them, impacting them? There's something different about those folk. You see, there's no greater way to show the love of God to others than to share the gospel of God with them. The very best that we have is Jesus Christ. And why would we not share him with them? Without distinction of persons, and indeed treat it as a matter of urgency. It matters not what color of skin they may have or what language they may speak. It matters not what they may be believing right now or how they may be behaving, how they dress, or even how they treat us. The Bible reminds us that we ought to love even our enemies. I love what Tim Chester, in his little book entitled Mission Matters, a wonderful little book on mission, so easy to read, but so difficult to put into practice. He says this: God has given us the gospel to pass on to the nations, so we're in their debt. We owe them the gospel. We have an obligation to them and to God to proclaim the good news. It couldn't be any clearer, dear friends, when we think of mission. And so is our service for God and others prompted by love. Do we love God? If so, then we will love others. Finally, Paul highlights yet another characteristic of this church. And I want to highlight this for you as I've read about your work of faith, as I have heard about your labors of love, as you reach out and as you seek to reach others with the gospel. It's hard work. It's not easy to keep going. When maybe there's not the same results as we see on a screen from a mission agency, where is God? Why is this not happening here? Dear friends, we leave that to the Lord. We ought to be faithful. We ought to endure. We ought to persevere. And so there is indeed not only labor prompted by love, but there is your endurance, Paul says, inspired by hope. That hope that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the church was remaining faithful regardless of what was going on around about them. They were proving to be steadfast in the face of incredible difficulties and opposition. And we see this particularly amongst the Slavic nations. It is by no means easy to be a Christian, not only in society, but also it can often mean rejection from your family. It can often mean opposition from authorities. The couple I mentioned in Kazakhstan warns, seeks to prepare his congregation, look, be prepared. He's been arrested, he's been threatened, he's been fined many times. And he tells his congregation, we need to be prepared for this. I wonder if your pastor said, look, this is what's going to happen next week. Anybody who turns up, the police are going to be here. I wonder how many would be here. We've got to persevere. We've got to endure. And how did they endure? Well, they did so with their eyes fixed on the certain hope of Jesus' return. Dear friends, Jesus is coming back again. We've been singing about that. He's coming back again soon. And each of us, we'll have to give an account of the days that we've been saved, walking in fellowship with the Lord, sharing this message of the gospel with others. I just pray that the Lord will give me a little bit more time, because there are still many who need to hear. Family members still outside of Christ. And I long that they would journey with me to the promised land. You see, real hope always looks to the future. We have said it often, we believe it, the best is yet to come for you and me, but there are others who are still without Christ. And our heart must not only break, but our feet must take us to them with the message of the gospel, never being ashamed of it, rather living it out and sharing it with others.
True hope, you see, looks expectantly for the Lord's return. It always leads to us enduring, persevering, not giving up, not growing weary, not counting the cost, never thinking, it's not really worth it. Again, I love Paul's perspective in Philippians 3. I press on. I like that. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I've got to keep going. There are people across the nations, but there are people that you and I know that still need to hear about Jesus Christ. And as I thought about this endurance inspired by hope recently, I couldn't help thinking about our sister Maud Kells, and as I was coming down and I knew about you hearing about Dr. Bill Woods, people like this, how do they keep going? How does their lives encourage us, inspire us, motivate us to keep going? I remember often meeting Maud in Cookstown Main Street, and always talking about the Savior, always talking about Jesus, always making sure that she took advantage of every opportunity. Truly an inspirational servant of God, an example of one whose faith in God, it was so real. Her love for God so passionate. Maud's desire to serve God and others was so selfless and sacrificial. And despite the innumerable challenges and difficulties that life threw at her, Maud endured and served right to the end. How did she do it? What kept Maud going? What's going to keep you and me going? Well, I believe it was two things. One, her thankfulness to God for what he had done for her. Are we thankful? Really? And secondly, the sure and certain hope that God would one day take her home to be with himself for all eternity. That's what keeps us going, right? John Stott, in his commentary on these verses in 1 Thessalonians, says this: the church is a community which is loved and chosen by God in a past eternity, rooted in God and drawing its life from him, and exhibiting this life of God in faith which works, a love which labors, and a hope that endures. And that ought to be our profile picture as well. May God help us to do just that. And as I close, I do so with this final quote. This is my prayer for you as a church here in Points Pass. This is my prayer for us all as individuals. Because you see, the church will only be as missional minded as you and I are. And this is what we read in a book written by John Piper. He quotes a guy called Ed Stetzner. Here I am, Lord. This is my response to God's call on my life, not only to save me, but to use me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Cause me to live as an agent of your mission, to partner with others, to spread your gospel to the nations, because we love the nations. Cause me to proclaim the gospel of repentance so that men and women might hear it all over the globe by the power of your Spirit. And in all these things, oh, listen to this, in all these things, my prayer for Points Pass Baptist Church, and I ask that your prayer for me would be too, that in all these things we may be a missional, missions-minded, gospel-centered, Spirit-empowered church. May God bless his word as we partner together in mission. Amen.